fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. Today I want to continue what we've been talking about for the last week, really, week and a half. And if you haven't been able to tune into the program, you're just maybe tuning in today for the first time. I've been talking about the teaching of St. Peter from the first part of his second letter, the second letter of St. Peter. It's just loaded with life-transforming teaching, teaching that will absolutely put us in the will of God, help us understand the truth that the Lord has given for each of us. You know, it's the truth that he gives us. The truth will set us free, the scripture says. And it's this truth that Peter and the apostles communicate to us that's so clear, that's so rooted in the revelation. It is the revelation of what Jesus showed the apostles and what they're passing on. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. The programs, Fire on the Earth, they're archived there on the computer. You can listen to them right there, or download them and put them on your iPod. Take time while you're there to browse the website. Go onto our mission site and look at all the different international missions and the teams that we're sending out around the world. And maybe God will put it on your heart that you'd like to be a part of something like that. All the information of what we're doing, the stories, we've got pictures and videos of what's happening. This is a great time to be alive in Christ. As a Catholic, we're being sent on mission to fulfill the Great Commission. The Church underlines for us time and time again that two fundamental things, that the great commandment to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the Great Commission to go make disciples of all nations. This is the heart of what we're called to do. That's why every Catholic parish exists. It's why every diocese exists. It's why the Church exists in the world, to fulfill those great commandments, the commission that the Lord has sent us into, really. The universal call to holiness, another way to say it, that is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And the universal call to mission, go make disciples of all nations. Great time to be alive. And the Holy Spirit, the apostles are teaching us, if we live in what Christ has called us to, if we abide in Jesus, in the truth he's given us, and we walk with him each day, we have a real relationship with him, a personal relationship with Christ. We're united to him in prayer and in love, and each day trying to follow him the best we can and yielding to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, he will bear fruit in us. And so I want to continue today, touch on the last paragraph in the first chapter of 2 Peter. We ended yesterday with this exhortation from St. Peter. He said, "Therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election." That is, the promises of God, that we're called to be sons and daughters of God, that we're called to bear fruit, that our lives are heading toward becoming partakers of the divine nature, really sharing in God's own life and our wildest imaginings being fulfilled, you know, the cry and longing of our heart. He said, so be zealous, be passionate, be focused to confirm call and election. For if you do this, you will never fall. So there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, that's where we're headed. That's the goal. That's what salvation means. Salvation isn't just now. Salvation ultimately means entering into that kingdom. And if we follow this teaching, if we internalize it and allow Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and to bear fruit in us, that entrance will be provided. And we'll be able to enter into the kingdom of God and share in all eternity with those who've said yes to Christ. Now, verse 12, this is interesting. You get to see the kind of time and moment in Peter's life. The letter was written. Peter was in Rome. He probably might have been in jail at the time, but we know Peter, and tradition has it that Peter was crucified. He was crucified upside down. And we get a sense from Peter echoing the words Jesus told him that someday some would come to bind him and take him where he didn't want to go. And Peter makes reference to this here. So he remembers everything Jesus taught him, right? Verse 12, "Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have." What's he saying? "I always remind you of these things," the things I underline, that we're called to share in his glory and excellence, that he's granted us these precious and great promises, that he's given us the power to escape from the corruption of this world that's under God's judgment, and come out from under the passions of our flesh that dominate us. I mean, just think, friends, I was watching a 60 Minutes program the other night, and there was a segment on a story in Columbus, Ohio, as an example of the phenomena that's unfolding in our time, the addiction to heroin that's happening. It's an epidemic in the country. And I think they said, if I have my stats right, over the last 6 years or so, 3,000 people have died of overdoses to heroin. The Mexican drug cartels are making it very easy, very accessible, very cheap, and it is profoundly addicting, and it's deadly. And they had testimonies of young men and women who made a break from the addiction. They described how profoundly addictive it is. We need to do everything we can to help these young people. And it's not just young people, actually. It's a whole set of people. But you say, what we have happening is what Peter described. He described here that the Lord wants to help us escape from the corruption that's in this world and the passions that dominate our lives. Some people have very addictive personalities, right? Some people might try the heroin and they don't get immediately addicted. Others, almost immediately, the addiction begins to happen. But something led them to say yes to it, the passions of this world. Whether it's the passion to say, man, I want to party, I want to have a great time, I want to escape my pain, whatever it is, the passions of this world are at work and they're leading us to slavery. And when we say yes to the passions, the apostle is telling us we get enslaved at a deeper and deeper level. And the addiction that happened in the case of these brothers and sisters, at a certain point, they lost their freedom almost. They were so under it and the addiction was so powerful, but they said yes to it at some point in their life. And there was a moment, there was clearly a moment in every person's life when you say, hey, I'm going to go out and get some heroin. You know there's something inside you saying, yeah, you better not do that. That's not a good idea. And then you just say, no, I want it. And you have lots of reasons why you want it. Those are the passions of a darkened mind and a broken, corrupted will and a wounded spirit. And so Jesus has come to help free us from all that because he loves us. He doesn't come to condemn us. He comes to free us from all that. But you just see how powerful it is. Columbus, Ohio, there's plenty of prosperity and good education and all the things that are supposed to be the answer and are supposed to prevent all the bad stuff from happening like that. And right in the middle of all that, we have people dying at such an alarming rate. And part of the answer and what good 12-step programs bring people to is the honesty, is the examination of our lives before God, a searching moral inventory that says very clearly, I'm not going to lie to myself anymore, man. My life is a mess. I have totally messed up my life. I can't manage my life. I've said yes to this stuff and I've enslaved myself and I'm dying. And I can't get out on my own strength. But I need the help of a higher power. I need God. I need the love of God. I need to know who I am in Christ, how valuable I am. And I need to have a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. At the heart of it, friend, is a sick soul, is a broken life. The apostles were so clear, there's nothing new under the sun. Verse 12 again, therefore I intend always to remind you of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. The truth sets us free. The truth sets us free. Verse 13, I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to arouse you by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, and as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Peter's saying, as long as I'm living, I'm going to exhort you, I want to arouse you, I want to remind you who you are in Christ and what he has done for you, because this is what matters. This is the difference maker. This is the knowledge you need to know. You don't. This is more important than the knowledge to land on the moon or land on Mars or the knowledge of whatever it is that we want to discover and whatever it is that really we're responsible to do in this world even. The most important thing we can possibly know is the saving truth that comes to us in Jesus Christ. So Peter is saying, I will until my last breath call you to become who you are and what you're meant to be. And that's found in the person of Jesus Christ. The good news about Jesus, his gospel. That's the power of God for salvation. It is dynamite. It's nuclear power. It's literally what gets you to become everything you're meant to be. Friends, look at the tragic story of the football player from Cleveland, Texas A&M and Cleveland, Johnny Manziel. I'm not condemning the guy or anything. I'm just saying his life is writ large across the news. Here's a guy who grew up in a family that had lots of money, lots of resources, kind of got what he wanted most of his life. He's got amazing talent, amazingly gifted guy, goes on to be one of the great college quarterbacks of all time, doing the thing that he loves to do, but he loves other things more. He loved partying. He loved his ego. He loved pleasure. And all along the way, and this is how the world works, you know, for people who are unknowns and they don't have gifts, they don't have the kind of gifts that people can make a living on, you know, when they get caught into partying and drug, people just get, and we throw them to the side, right? We throw them to the curb. But for a guy like him, you know, a public icon or hero, and somebody, a lot of people want to get on his gravy train and want to see him not only succeed for himself, but for themselves. There's a lot of enabling that goes on. So clearly he had very destructive behavior. He was enslaved, and he still is, as far as I can tell, to his passions and his pleasures. The very thing the apostles are talking about. He's been enslaved. And so all along the way, people who needed him, football program at Texas A&M, Cleveland Browns, everybody is going to believe a lie about him, that somehow we're going to fix this because this guy's got great talent. And they often talk about it like it's for his sake we're doing this, but I don't believe it. Maybe at some level. But ultimately, it's self-serving. We need a quarterback for our franchise. It's about money. It's about making money. It's about succeeding financially. And the story just a month or a half ago or something, a handful of his friends rent a house in California somewhere and they party. And the next day, the guy who owns the place comes in, they're supposed to be gone. And he's laying there passed out on the ground and drugs all over the place. And I mean, just, it's one thing after another. And he gets up and he promises, I got to change my life. I got to change my life. I'm going to change my life. I promise I'm going to turn around. It's the small stuff. That's what addicts do. But friends, in some ways, all of us are addicted. We're addicted to sin, saying yes to our passions and pleasures. And so Peter is saying, there's a way out of this. There's a way out. You're addicted because you've fallen. There's something in you that's broken. Yeah, it's chemical. You bet. That's part of the brokenness. It's part of the fallenness. But you're also free, right? You've forgotten who you are, what you're made for. And Jesus wants to bring healing to your life. He wants you to come to know who you are. Because at the end of the day, football means nothing. It's a game. It's a business, period. This guy wasn't made just to be a great quarterback. You could take it or leave it. He was made for the glory of God. He's God's possession. God made him. He belongs to him. He's meant to reign with Jesus Christ in glory for all eternity. To live in peace, to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, come to dominate his life rather than his ego and his passion, his pleasure-seeking, violence, whatever it is. I'm just mentioning because these stories all out there in public, and I'm not doing it to condemn the guy or anything. I mean, I've known in my own life. I knew I made a lot of mistakes as a young man like he did, and I know how easy it is to do that and how foolish. And when you get trapped in it, you get caught in it, you just don't realize how destructive it is, and you forget who you are, and you buy the lies of what you think you're supposed to be. It's very, very easy to do. And St. Peter's saying to us very clearly, I want to remind you, I want to arouse you, I want to call you back to the truth about who you are. I do that because I know that's the road to freedom. That's the road to life. That's the road to eternal happiness. So I will die proclaiming it. And that's what he did. Let's follow in his footsteps, brothers and sisters, and it will lead to ultimate fulfillment. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in the year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.